This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
In life's journey, we must seek to reflect, learn, and grow. Welcome to The Road to Rediscovery with your host, Aubrey Johnson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Road to Rediscovery. I'm your host, Aubrey Johnson. The Road to Rediscovery is about reflecting on life lessons to learn and grow from them, and of course, pay it forward to uplift others who are struggling through dark times. My special guest is a producer and actor. Having encountered lots of barriers and struggles early in his career, he's developed a heart to help others pursuing a career in entertainment to prevent some of the obstacles he's had. He's raising his voice on Asian leads as an underrepresented minority in Hollywood and makes a strong statement with his recently released film, Some of Our Stallions, a dramatic, intense, and passionate film where he plays the lead. Ladies and gentlemen, let's please welcome Al D to the show. Hey, Al, how you doing, man? It's great to have you here.
I'm doing good here. And hello, American. I'm Al D. I come in with peace. I mean you no harm.
He means no harm. In fact, he means help. Help to give help, provide help, love and insight. Right, Al D?
Yes, love is all wrong.
Hey,
how are you today, Adrian?
Oh, I'm doing great, sir. Thank you so much. I'm doing fantastic. So can you share with the listeners where you're from and what was life, your early days, like growing up as a kid? What was life for Al growing up?
I grew up in a small town near Beijing, China. Mm-hmm. I grew up and when I was very young, my parents, they always go to Hong Kong. So every time they go to Hong Kong, they bring a bunch of rock and roll, soul, blues, CD to me. Because back then in mainland China, we don't have those stuff, you know. So suddenly, because I have this advantage, my parents go to Hong Kong a lot, brought me all this Western rock and roll, blues, jazz records. So I started to learn about North American, I say Western culture, you know, I soak in with all this music. So that's how that's basically my childhood, my youth with Western music.
I see. So that was an influence early on that kind of inspired you to pursue a career in entertainment?
No. Back then it was just a hobby, you know, passion. Because I love, I never thought I would come to America to do all these things. I just listen to music all the time. I'm obsessed with rock and roll, jazz, blues.
I got you. So let's fast forward a little bit. And at what point were you inspired to pursue a career in entertainment?
Yeah, because I was a very good guitar player in China. So, but rock and roll is not from China. Rock and roll's hometown is America, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I have to go to America to learn jazz. But at that moment, it's 2001, 9/11 just happened. So for us, very difficult for us to study in America because of the visa. Mm-hmm. So I went to Vancouver, Canada to learn mm-hmm. music. But I understand even I'm so good, my skill, my technique, play guitar so good in Asia, but compared to all my Canadian American friends, classmates, I'm like nothing. So from that moment, I changed my major from mm-hmm. music study to music business and the movie business. Mm-hmm. And I love making people laugh in my class. So some of my, so you have to remember all my classmates study movie and music. So mm-hmm. we started this, a lot of comedy group, made me somehow in 2007, I become like an Asian comedian in Canada.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was in Rolling Stone magazine, CBC, all this big platform. But you know, in 2007, I was young. I hate people think I'm just a crazy, funny, you know, blah, blah, blah. I want people taking me seriously. So what is the right. best way for people taking me seriously? I need to get the best job in this business. So I got a job in Universal Music. Mm-hmm. That's my answer to your question. That's basically the moment. I think I work for the music industry, the best gotcha. Record label in the world, Universal.
Yes, yes. You know, it's interesting how just any facet of entertainment really opens the door. At least, you know, that was my experience. I dabbled in music a little bit, but when you like have that little taste of entertainment, you know, where whether you're doing stand up at a comedy club, or let's say you're doing an outdoor concert or something, it opened that door of potential opens up to where mm-hmm. you know you see that the sky's the limit, and anything mm-hmm. you want to explore, whether it's acting or producing or directing, or let's say you want to work with you know, behind the camera with you know, equipment and so forth. It's just a whole new world, man. And it seems like that was the case for you.
Yeah. But in the beginning, I mean, of course, for everybody's beginning is hard, right? Because yeah. there's the say in English, the first step always the hardest. Am I right?
It is. First step's always the hardest. It's the beginning.
Can I share your story?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I remember after I graduated from my music film school, I tried to get a job. So mm-hmm. I sent my resume to EMI, Warner Brothers, Sony, back then, you know. And mm-hmm. then I remember after a couple of months, nobody replied me. So one day I was sit by the Pacific Ocean on the bench. I had tears on my face because I feel like I'm a fucking, because I feel like, oh, I'm nothing. I'm useless. Nobody hired me for a job.
Yeah.
But after half a year, other than I'm very lucky, I got the very lowest job. I got the lowest level job at Universal. Right. Other than, but after this is the part very important, I must say. So after another few months later, suddenly I found out EMI closed the West Coast branch.
Wow, really?
Yeah, and then Sony BMG laid off so many people. Mm-hmm, yeah, so I really want to say this to the listener. Sometimes if you feel like your life is worthless, you feel life is nothing, you are a failure. It's not. It's just the industry changing. It's really not your fault. It's just the industry, the whole environment's problem. So hang on. Don't feel too hard on yourself. Keep your head up.
I tell you what, Al, thank you so much for sharing that for the listeners, man. I mean, those are words to the wise, for sure. And those are very profound words, and they're inspiring. I want to thank you for that, because that is the case, you know. And as you learned in this example, you were not given that job for a reason. and that reason really protected you from something happening. You know, like, let's say you did get the job, and then a month or two later, EMI, you know, they go belly up. They're no longer in business. and then you're out of a job, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd rather be turned down for a job and then the business, goes out of business than to get the job only mm-hmm. to be jobless again when the company goes out of business. So, that shows us that it builds our strength, right? It makes us stronger mm-hmm. when we have to go through those types of setbacks. A lot of the setbacks are really mm-hmm. setups, right? They're setups to set mm-hmm. you up for success in another direction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I totally agree with what you said.
Oh man, that's a great story. I appreciate you sharing that with us, Al. So, that's a great segue into my next question here, talking about the early days, your early days in entertainment, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure you had a tough time making a name for yourself.
Yeah, I done my first job. I mean, with mm-hmm. all the truth, it was the lowest level job at Universal.
Yes.
Back then there's a department. I think now there's no more that department. The yeah. department called Straight Team.
Yes.
Yeah. So my job basically is once there's a concert coming to Vancouver, my job is to go to all the cool stars, mm-hmm. also on the street to attach all the posters on the wall. Mm-hmm. To put flyers in the stores. That back then, that was the job.
Wow, that was a job.
Yeah, and then once there's let's say who's with Universal back then. Let's say Fall Out Boy released the album.
Yeah,
my job, mm-hmm. yeah, my job also is to go to the street, put their poster on the street, and mm-hmm. then leave all the flyers in all the stores.
Really.
Yeah, that used to be my first job.
Now, I can see now why, and how that is the lowest job of the whole structure for, that company. But at the same time, I do understand that, everyone's different, everyone has a different, career aspirations. There's different types of work that different people like, and you can have the lowest job but still have a happy life. Okay.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned this because back then I was 24.
Yeah.
So I don't expect to pay a lot of salary because when I work for Universal, I got all the free CD, DVD. For me, that was all the all the free music. That was very happy actually.
Also free. That's
Yeah, free concert ticket.
Yeah, concert tickets, CDs, all that stuff, man.
Yeah,
I mean, that's priceless, especially when you're young, right? Because when you're young, it's all about going to concerts and listening to music, and here you have free music right at your disposal. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. So even in those times, right? I'm sure you had good and bad days, but let me ask you this: think about a day that you've came home mm-hmm. early in that part of your career.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long distance relationship, becoming a first step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
After having a very, very bad day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my, yeah.
What was it and how did you pick up yourself, dust yourself off, and keep moving forward?
So funny, I'm totally not prepared for this question, but however, the bad memory always stick in me. Oh. So it's funny. So after I work my way up with Universal, I become the publicist of Universal Music.
Publicist? Okay.
Yeah, in one year, I become a publicist. That's
in
why
one
I know.
Year?
That's why I know publicist's job is very hard.
Yeah.
I remember once I was arranging interview for Adam. What's the guy's name? From like the frontman of Maroon 5.
Maroon 5. You mean Adam? Adam Levine.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
So, for some reason, I remember because I was new. I just become publicist. Mm-hmm. I think my memory is a little bit weak, but I think neither I set up the time because I set up the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
All the interview, all the media press is wrong. But you shouldn't, you know, Maroon 5 back to 2007, he already the one of the biggest band in the world. So the record label very scared. So I remember my boss was very angry. My boss never angry with me.
Mm.
So I made one mistake when I was arranging interview for Adam. So he was very angry. So I remember once I walk out from the office, I feel like a piece of garbage. You know? And then I was like, oh, I'm going to get fired. Oh, I messed up with the Maroon 5.
Yeah,
I feel like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I was like, how does this happen? So I was very guilty because actually it was my fault. But back then I have to find all the excuses to make me look good. It's like, oh, not just my fault. It's also media's fault. But those moments made me feel like I will never make a mistake again. Mm-hmm. I will do a better job. I don't want my boss angry with me. Yeah,
I got you.
Because when my boss angry with me, all my colleagues know, because the boss is yelling at me, right?
Yes.
Yelling, screaming. Yeah, it was a very humiliation in the office. Your boss angry with you. It's like, oh, so shamed.
Yeah. So I guess what kept you moving forward in that case there is just letting the past be the past, right? And not let the past affect your mood or your emotions, to move forward, because you already committed that you weren't going to make this mistake again, right? And, and so you just left the past behind you so that you can move forward.
Yeah, and also there's another time. So after Universal Music, I work for Live Nation. Live Nation is the biggest concert company.
Okay.
I remember I was doing show for this band, rock and roll band from West Coast called the Eels, like the fish, Eels.
Eels. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, in the beginning, the first year I was unbeatable. Everything happening great. Second year, great. Other than I was still young. Also, other than I become, how do you say the word? I become more, not a snobby, I become more proud of myself.
Oh,
because
very,
once you become
very cocky, arrogant, you knew you were good.
Yeah, arrogant.
Yeah.
Once I become arrogant, of course, mistake happen. So I remember I did this two show, back-to-back show for years in two cities.
Mm-hmm.
So for technical issue, the first show was great, but because they did a back-to-back show,
right.
There's also it was a long travel, so the second show canceled.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the band was so sad. Also, because when the concert canceled, you have to refund all the ticket refund all the ticket for the people.
Yep.
You know, you lose so much money to the venue.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the media laugh at you. People, my competitor laugh at me. It was very sad moment.
Yeah.
And not just sad for me, sad for my team.
Yeah.
But those moments made me just have to be humble all the time. Don't party too much. When there's a big event, really don't party, don't drink. So,
gotcha.
You're
being professional.
Yeah, I mean, really, I think all this shitty moment made me become more professional because I don't want people laugh at me.
Right. But it also taught you humility, right?
Yeah.
So that's a big lesson. And it sounds like humility played a significant role in your life, especially in that event that happened. Mm-hmm. It helps you kind of mature and like adjust your perspective on your career, your life, interacting with other people, those sorts of things. So, man, that's awesome. Now, Al, I want to talk about your latest film, Some of Our Stallions. Let me tell you something, man. I read the synopsis on the storyline and the characters here, okay? And there were several words that I could not shake out of my head after reading the synopsis. Several words. Mm-hmm. You want to hear them?
Yes.
All right.
Please.
The words that kept ringing through my head were tenuous grasp on sanity. My goodness, man. Now, the listeners are probably wondering, what in the world is Aubrey talking about? Can you give the listeners a glimpse into the film and just tell them a little bit of what it's about?
The movie about two best friends, one American, one Chinese. It's like a Rush Hour. It's like a Shanghai Moon Rush Hour movie, but without
like Rush Hour,
like a Rush Hour without the kung fu fighting.
Okay.
And two best friends, they met in the mental illness hospital.
Mm-hmm.
They become a very good friend. And then once they come out, they feel like they feel empty in their life. So they figured out because they don't have love in their life.
Right.
So they went on this journey to looking for love.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically without giving too much information, that's the movie about. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah. But they are not too normal. That's why a lot of drama happened in this movie. But but all this drama without compassion, without love, without brotherhood, without friendship.
You know?
So it's not like making fun of people. It's really about brotherhood, friendship.
Brotherhood and friendship. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And like I mentioned in the intro earlier, you know, intense and passionate, you know, think are very, they're very poignant, very poignant descriptive words that depicts this movie, you know. So thank you for sharing a glimpse into what the film is about, man. Now you play a character, or you play Andy, is that correct?
Yes, I play Andy.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So without giving anything away, do you see any parallels or similarities between Andy's journey in the film and, let's say, your journey?
Yes, I'm also looking for love. You know,
all the
time I'm on the journey looking for love. And sometimes I hard get a break, you know. But I still brave, I still looking for love.
Yeah,
this is the thing. Sometimes some journalists take misunderstand our movie title. Some of our stallions, they think, oh, the movie title is too, how do you say the English word, masculine?
Yeah,
like masculine. A very male, masculine. No, it's totally not. Stallions also means the people don't fit in. So the people who don't fit in, people want to be themselves. Like a wild house. This movie, it's very about wild hearts looking for love, but respect love. Yeah.
Understood.
Mm-hmm.
Are those similarities what drew you to this character? What was it about Andy that drew you to?
Truth to be told, when we're making this movie, I was in a very difficult love life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so for some reason, the woman I was dating back then, one day she treated me very good. After another couple of weeks, she treated me like a piece of garbage. And then, you know, it's become a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but I was just, all my friends are like, oh, she's worse, don't date her. But, you know, back then I was just dating her. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, also so once I got a piece of script from Carson Mayo, the director and the writer, I feel like, oh, this movie can can release my depression, because as an actor, you can see so many lines in the movie to depress, to express your feeling, to express your misery. But in the real life, I can't do that. If in real life I express my misery, I express my anger, my depression, you have to remember I'm like a producer in Hollywood, so people will think, oh, I'm unstable. Oh, this LD is emotional unstable. LD is depressed. People will not talk to me. Don't want to make a movie anymore with me. So in real life, we all have to wear masks. We all have to be stable. But when, right? We can't really be crazy.
Right.
But when I read this script, it's like, oh, I have a channel to release my sadness. So you can see my parallel with me and Andy. So Andy become my avatar to release my sadness of life, sadness of love.
Yeah. No, he's like your avatar for sure. You know, and no, that makes a lot of sense. And a channel. It was a channel for you to release that. So, I find that tremendous, absolutely tremendous. And like you said, two best friends that come out of a mental institution. Now, I feel over the past couple years, I believe, you know, that mental illness is starting to get some long overdue attention, you know, on the realness of it. It's a real thing. And I'll be honest with you real quick here, Al, my mother's sister, my aunt.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long distance relationship, becoming a first step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
She committed suicide as a result of having a mental illness back in 1982. And in 1982... it wasn't a talked about thing. It was very taboo, right? And no one said much about it. And if you said much about it, then it's like, okay, well, they need to go into a hospital or a house, you know? And so no one wanted to, you know, have a heart of compassion, right? And empathy for someone suffering through this mental illness. And it is a struggle, you know. Life, even without mental illness, is already a struggle for us, right? To lead a meaningful and functional life, it's already hard. No one chooses to have mental illness in lives. So my question to you is, what is the without giving it away, and if it's too much and you don't want to answer, that's okay too. What is the film's core message to the viewers regarding mental illness? Because these guys want to find love too, just like anyone else.
Can I answer you this question in a few minutes later? I want to talk to you. We'll talk about the mental illness was taboo in America in 1982.
Yes, please do. Absolutely.
Yeah, this is why the Western country right now is with a very advanced countries, because you guys talk about a mental illness, depression, all these things. So people actually from Asia, we don't understand. We always, you know, a lot of people from Asia don't understand. How come people living in America, such a great country, everybody so rich, how come American people, so many people have a mental illness, always eat a pill? Oh, maybe American people have so much spare time in their head. You know what I mean? So this is what the Asian people talk about. they assume American people always have too much time in their head. So you guys have money, don't have to always work. So you guys bored. You guys bored. You guys have a mental illness. But but that was the assumption from Asia.
Right.
But a lot of Asian people think of that.
Yeah.
But it's the same. In Asia, media stuff, we don't have still a taboo here. So nobody talk about this. That's why everybody think, oh, we're all happy. We're all mentally strong. Oh, American people, blah, 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 blah. So it's not because in here, we all have so many mental illness people.
Yeah.
Also, you look at Japan, right? Mm-hmm. The suicide rate is huge.
Yes, it is.
Also, last year, I have a friend jump out. I have a friend jump out of one from the building, but nobody talk about all these things. So which means American and also the European country talk about this. It's great. Don't be ashamed. It's great to mention this, to emphasize this.
I agree. And my aunt, who passed away in 1982, at that time here in the U.S., very taboo. People didn't talk about it. If she had this severe illness, if she didn't pass away in 1982 and had this severe illness today, it would get addressed and talked about, and you know, and people would have a heart and compassion for her and be there to help and assist, and not just, you know, say put that person away in a room with padded walls and lock the door, you know. I mean, yeah. So I understand where you're coming from and where you're saying 100%, my friend.
Yeah. So sorry. Talk about that. What was the question again? I was.
No, that's okay. Yeah. I was just wanting to know if regarding mental illness, if film had a core message to the viewers on that.
Yeah. So the message behind this movie, besides brotherhood, love,
right,
loyalty, friendship, also means don't think this because stallions, right? Stallions, we refer to wild people. I'm not going to say mental illness people. I say wild people. So they really just the people. I mean, they are normal. Maybe sometimes they are not normal, but do not annoyed by them because they are not normal as you. Right. They are just another group of people. Just care about them. Do not laugh at them. Do not think they are stupid. They are dangerous. You know.
Yeah.
So this movie, I mean, I'm going to say this movie has a very happy ending. I'm not going to say too much, but this movie is a happy ending. To let the people know what mental illness people also can have a happy ending story.
Wonderful. Yeah. And I appreciate you sharing that with us without giving too much away, because I want the listeners to check out this movie. I want them to check it out, some of our stallions, and we'll talk more about how they can, you know, watch the film here in a little bit. But what I wanted to chat about real quick, Al, is, the fact that Asian leads are underrepresented in Hollywood, and you're a strong advocate, on this topic. Now, from what I see, kind of related to that, the Film Academy is slowly starting to recognize more people of color for, you know, Oscar nominations and winners and so forth. You know, it took a while and it's still a work in progress, but it's starting to happen. So why do you think Asian leads are so underrepresented? And what can be done, or what do you think needs to be done to turn that around?
I think for a couple of reasons, because in the beginning, in the Hollywood cinema history, the first Asian lead was Bruce Lee, a fighter.
Right.
Other than we have Jet Li, we have
yep.
Jackie Chan. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it's all Kung Fu stars. So that's leave an impression to Hollywood. All Asian people can all Asian actors should be Kung Fu stars, right?
No, I got you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. And then, you know, people always portray, especially Hollywood movie, always have to portray Asian people like bankers, like serious face.
Yes.
If you portray Asian people like other, like my character in the movie, actually already some Asian people think, oh, why Asian people in an other ball movie? Like in American, there's what called knucklehead, right? Knucklehead,
yeah.
yeah. Because that's the thing. It's like in Hollywood, if people put Asian people in knucklehead comedy, they're afraid other people offended.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, you know. But now it's good. Now it's like Asian people in America have more confidence. It's like, oh, we can have good Asian people. We can have silly Asian people. Or we can have evil Asian people. So people, because it's really come from the confidence.
Yes.
If people have no confidence, if you do anything to me, I'm like, oh, why you talk this to me?
Right.
Now we have confidence. Now Asian people have comedian, not so many, but there's several very big Asian comedian in American TV shows right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. Now, so I think slowly more Asian actors from different genres
show up. yeah no absolutely yeah. Man, and you're starting to see Asian actors and Asians in the entertainment industry, you know, there's just as much flexibility for an Asian to be in a comedy movie versus an action movie versus a drama or maybe a scary or horror film, you know? So, Asians have the ability, just like anyone, to act in either of those and not just be pigeonholed in Kung Fu movies or pigeonholed in comedies and things like that. So I appreciate you sharing that insight.
Can I say one more thing about this?
Absolutely.
Also, have you heard of this Asian female comedian called Awkwafina?
Yes, I have. Yeah. I heard of her online.
Yeah. So she has, you know, it's very funny because she's on certain people's level, she's not beautiful, you know, but she's a very successful Hollywood actress, comedian. So I see on the website so many Asian people talk shit about her. It's like, oh, Hollywood always love you, put such look like, you know, they use the word, a very terrible word, like ugly. Oh, Hollywood people love put an ugly woman on such a spot. You know, to make people think, oh, Asian people look like this. You know, I'm just every time I read a message, yeah, really horrible. It's like, that's why Awkwafina for me is really a hero, because she doesn't be herself. She rap. She's a very good rapper.
Yes, that's where I've heard of her from, rapping. And very talented, very talented, man. Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, I guess places, you know, like Hollywood, they have, there's too much of this. There's too much of this societal expectation of, on TV, they have to look beautiful. They have to be 6'2" and 180 pounds, and or, you know, have a nice build or a chiseled face, a jaw structure, and, you know, their hair has to be parted, not a hair out of place, and you have to have six pack abs and all this stuff. There's all these expectations, you know. And I wish, I mean, normal people don't look like this, okay? they really don't. They don't look like this. And so, you know, and since normal people don't look like this, why would these beautiful chiseled people be the only ones that Hollywood would hire to be an ordinary let's say, soccer mom, or to be an ordinary...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Businessman on a television show, you know? businessmen, ordinary businessmen, they don't, you know, with a wife and kids, they don't have six-pack abs, you know? I think that's kind of funny, man. But at the same time, I have to say, I agree with you. Awkwafina is a hero because she is just out there doing what she does, doing what she loves, and she's doing it freely. And she doesn't care about how she looks. She doesn't care about what people think as far as how she looks. Her art is her talent, right?
And
very good at that. Yeah, she's very good at that. So speaking of which, as you know, we're like 16 months since the start of this pandemic, right? Over the past 16 months, there's been a lot of assaults of hate directed at Asians in the U.S. I can't speak for other countries, but can you speak to how this has had an impact, if it has had an impact on you or your career during these past 16 months?
Yeah, I mean, career, because I'm in music and the movie, both industry. Yeah. So both industry got hurt, severe damage, because you can't do tour anymore.
Right.
No concert, no festival, music festival. For movie, all the production shut down. Actually, we made some of our stallions in 2019. We were supposed to make that movie out.
Really?
In 2020, yeah.
Okay, I got you. Wow.
So also this movie, also my another movie, both movie delayed. When movie delayed, which means you can't get your money back, because your money in the movie, like the investor's money, right?
Yeah.
So everybody just so stressed. But it's really last year, you have to do a lot of comparison. It's, my life is so struggling. I have no more income. But other people, there's so many people doing worse.
Oh, there sure are.
Right?
Yeah.
So we have to just, I feel bad. We have to compare to the people who, but back then it's like, oh, his life is more sadder, more miserable. But at a certain moment, especially last year, we have to do this. The reason we do this is because we feel grateful. We feel grateful what we have at this moment.
Yes. Yes. Well, yeah. That's true. And it offers perspective, right? I mean, you know, yeah. I feel sad in my heart. My heart is sad when I think of people who have less than me, you know, or people who are in worse situations than me. But at the same time, when I feel down about myself, and I have to understand that, hey, you know, there are people who are in worse situations than me, then that makes me feel like, okay, well, I guess I'm not as bad or as in bad shape as I think I am, you know?
I wish my English is as good as you. So what you said is totally what I feel last year, even now.
Uh-huh. Man, that even now you said.
Yeah, even now I still feel, even now the life is still struggling. It's not like 2019 again. So I still... every day, like certain hour, maybe in the evening, I feel very lonely. You know, blah blah blah. Yeah.
No. Thank you for sharing that. And you know, that took a lot for you to be vulnerable and transparent to make that statement, Al. So I really appreciate you being transparent and sharing that as far as how you feel. I mean, that's a tremendous statement to the listeners, especially the listeners who are really struggling through dark times, you know, these days. So thank you for sharing that.
I want to say one more thing to the listeners. Absolutely. Just to make everybody's life feel a little bit happier. I'm not going to name drop. As far as I know, I even know a lot of several very big directors, movie directors, mm-hmm. they are in depression now. I can't say the name because of course I can't.
Sure,
absolutely. But really, yeah, you feel like, oh, they have so much money. They have a multiple house. They are so successful. But they really hide themselves right now because they are depressed.
Yeah,
because the pandemic damage people, not just financially, really also mentally.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not because they have money, they have success, they are happy. Really, they're all depressed.
Yeah. I mean, money doesn't buy happiness entirely. It, you know.
Whoa, 100%.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, so Al, how can the listeners connect with you and catch this latest film, Some of Our Stallions?
Go, I think right now the best way is go Apple TV or go Amazon. You know, I think the movie on a lot of platform, VOD's online streaming platform. So if they search Some of Our Stallions, they can watch it.
Fantastic. I will put those instructions and maybe even a direct link in the episode show notes so the listeners can access it directly from the podcast, and you know, they can watch the movie, they can learn about mm-hmm. you and maybe even connect with you if they have any questions, man. Oh, man, this has been awesome. I really, really appreciate you coming on the show, man. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you. But I have to say one more sentence to all the listeners.
Yes.
I have to say one more sentence. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big fan of Whitney Houston. She has a song called The Greatest Love. The greatest love of all is love yourself. Do you remember that sentence?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah. Really have to, at this moment, this pandemic is still going on. Life is hard. Still so many people have no income, move back to the parents' home. Mm-hmm. Lost the girlfriend, no life. But really, even 1 year's misery, 2 years misery, but compared to your life, it's just really 1 year misery, 2 years misery, maybe 3 years misery. But even 3 years misery is temporary.
Yes.
Yeah, really, really fucking just live. Eventually, after you look back, you are much stronger. So really focus on the future. Don't think about the past.
Absolutely. No. Learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all.
Oh, yeah. That's great to sound.
That's exactly right, man. Thank you for sharing that with the listeners. And I know those words will resonate and ring with them, man. You know, as we close or get close to closing out here, Al, I'd like to go into a segment real quick. I like to call Three for the Road. And in Three for the Road, that's where I ask my guests three random yet thought-provoking questions that I challenge you to answer in five words or less. So what do you say? You're up for it?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Fantastic. Oh, yeah. And by the way, my questions are not cookie cutter. Okay. I don't ask the same questions for every guest. My questions are customized based off my guest's expertise and background. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right. So here we go. Yes. Question number one for Three for the Road. I'm going to give you a scenario. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Here's a scenario. You've worked on set for 10 straight hours and you are starving. Everyone breaks for lunch. So what is your go-to food or snack?
Hamburger.
Nice.
Double cheeseburger.
Nice. And what do you like on it? You like ketchup, mustard, pickle, tomato,
ketchup is very good. And onion.
Ketchup and onion.
Tomato.
Nice.
Yeah.
Love it. Fantastic, man. Thank you. All right. Number two. Question number two. Where is your dream location that you would love to shoot a film?
Oh my God. I want to shoot a movie in Hawaii. Hawaii.
Hawaii. Paradise.
Hawaii, yes.
Yeah, nice. Hawaii. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's easy. That's an easy one there. I mean, in Hawaii, I mean, who wouldn't want to go, right? It's beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, man. Question number three to top us off for three for the road. What is your favorite movie quote?
Let the passion to be your destiny.
Let your passion be your best.
No, let your passion to be your destiny. Destiny? Like a fate. Destiny.
Oh, testy. Yeah. Yeah, I got you. Okay. Man,
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, so let the passion be your destiny. It's from the movie Great Expectations.
Great Expectations, yeah. Let your passion be your destiny. Love it.
Yeah.
Man. Al, congratulations. You did great on three for the road.
Sorry, I was a little bit nervous. Sorry.
No, not at all, man. You did fantastic. Al, once again, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. I really, really appreciate you. And hey, let's do this, okay? Can we stay in touch? I mean, I'd love to have you on the show like 6 or 8 months later to give the fans an update on what's going on in your life.
Yeah, of course. Also, are you on Instagram?
I am okay, on Instagram.
I will add your this is your name on Instagram, right?
On Instagram, I am at AJShark49.
Maybe I will email you. I will email you.
Yeah, shoot me an email.
I will email for this.
Yep. Yeah, shoot me an email and I'll give that to you for sure, man. All right. Well, Al, thank you, sir. Really appreciate it. And a big thanks to all of you for checking in and listening. Now, just a quick reminder, just released this month, the Rediscover Roadmap digital course is now available. This course shows you how to take an introspective approach to your personal development and growth and accountability by using the four pillars to personal growth. That's self-awareness, humility, gratitude, and service to others. For a free preview and to register for this course, visit roadtorediscovery.com/course. That's road, the number two, rediscovery.com/course. The Road to Rediscovery, it's part of a movement, a revolution. And guess what? You are now part of it. We're all roadies on this journey of life, and it sure feels good having you on the road with me. Thanks again for listening. We'll chat again soon.
The Road to Rediscovery is an AJ Shark production.